Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about, well, codependency versus unconditional love. How do we know the difference? And I think many of us get this confused, because it can be easy to get confused as to what is what. And so on today's show, I want to talk about the differences. Later on in the hour, Dan Nelson, our resident genealogist and historian, will be connecting with us later in the third segment and giving his historical perspective. But in the meantime, let's talk about, ultimately, let's start with codependency. And many of you know that I like to discuss, you know, relationship-type topics on the show. And, you know, we like to explore, because when we explore, we're able to acknowledge and see more clearly who we are, as well as to clearly understand our relationships and to better understand basically the connection and the core of that relationship, to be able to see things that might need to be augmented, changed, or things that are really working. And it's interesting, because we know that ultimately every person is responsible for their own happiness, right? And I find it interesting in a codependent relationship that usually we're relying on other people to make us feel better, right? Or to make us feel happy. And there's a tendency in the codependent relationship to lose our personal identity, right? Or we're no longer independent in nature. And I find that this is very important to understand, because there's been so many books written. I remember, like, all kinds of books as kids, and these books about, you know, how two halves make a whole and all that kind of stuff, which is just, it's absurd. And it's stuff that was taught to us when we were kids. It was stuff that was taught to us that we were supposed to believe. And in reality, you know, what does that do for us? It does nothing. It really takes us off target from being the independent person that we need to be. And let's talk about some of the signs of codependency, because I think this is important. And am I getting upset about, I mean, I'm in recovery for codependency, right? I'm in recovery, and I constantly, you know, see some of the programming that I have aware of that exists within me, you know, and we can work at it. It's like anything in life. You got to work at it. It's a lifetime journey, right? We have to work at it throughout our lifetime to work to make things right, to get over that hump, to change the programming, to be aware of the programming, and to make small, significant changes to be better than we were yesterday. But the big thing is that we have to be really, really, really solidly aware of our codependent tendencies. Many of you listening on the radio, probably in a local station on AM radio where you are, or you might be watching on social media, the live stream, many of you might be dealing with codependency in your own life. What I've realized is that many of us, well, we're products of our environment, right? We're products of the way we were raised. And many of us had a parent who might have been, well, codependent. And we saw how that person, how they acted, what they did. We saw the decisions they made. We saw how they responded. We saw how they took care of people in the family. You know, a lot of times we saw how they were, you know, they took care of themselves last. You know, they put everybody else first. You know, there's a lot of different things that we saw. And some of that is very admirable. But some of it is taking away from that person's quality of life. And some of that is taking away from them as an individual. So let's talk about the signs. Let's talk about the signs of codependency. Okay, let's talk about that. And I think that can be interesting, because it's some stuff that we actually need to recognize. And it's some things that we might not be aware of. So first off, one of the things that I can think about is the difficult making decisions in a relationship. We have a difficult time making decisions in a relationship out of fear of something happening, out of fear of someone not being happy, out of fear of hurting the other person's feelings. And so we find ourselves in a quandary. And I know many of you out there might say, yeah, you know, my husband or wife makes fun of me because I can't even make a decision on a restaurant. I can't even get out of the rain with the restaurant question. And I get it. It's like you get to that point where you're stuck in the inability to make a decision because there's so much there. There's so much fear around that. And that's normal because that's a lot of our programming. But that difficult making decision because we don't want to hurt somebody. The difficult making decisions because we want to make sure we make the right decision for everybody. But a lot of times, are we always making that right decision for us? Another sign is a difficulty identifying our feelings. You know, it can be hard because many of us were raised in family dynamics where we were not allowed to express our feelings. Where if we did express our feelings, it was a problem. If we did express our feelings, there was issue. Or if we did, we got the silent treatment, or we were told to be quiet, or we were told that we didn't have any right to feel that way, or that we were just being upset about nothing, or that we were being silly. You know, the list goes on. Oh, you're overthinking. Oh, there you go again. You know, all stressed out about everything. Difficult communicating in a relationship. There's a tendency of not being able to express how we feel, right? It goes back to that. Because we don't want to hurt other people's feelings. We don't want to make them feel bad. But I think also it goes deeper than that, right? It goes into the concept of it's hard because we're fearful of communicating because sometimes in the past our communication has been, well, it's been shown that we're not communicating right. Or somebody's questioning about what we are communicating. And a lot of times when you're trying to get out your feelings, the other person is already badgering you, right? About how you're not communicating properly, or you're not speaking clearly, or they don't understand you. And so what? You kind of go back in and you kind of just literally just, you know, deal with yourself and don't focus. You're just like, okay, I'm just going to keep my feelings to myself. I'm not going to deal with it. We have a tendency of evaluating and valuing and seeking our approval, seeking approval from others. In the hopes that they value us. And that seeking of approval in others is very interesting, and it happens to us a lot. It happens to many of us. Because we want approval so badly, and that approval is so important to us that we'll go any extreme to get it. And that's normal. It's part of the programming, but we have to begin to see it for what it is so that we can augment it. And a lot of times in these codependent relationships, when we have these relationships, we do things to make the other person happy, and sometimes that can make us unhappy. But also, a lot of times we don't really know what the other person wants. And many times we don't know what the other person wants because the other person doesn't even know what they want. And many times, to take it a step further, we're trying to provide something to the other person that they have to provide themselves. And we get ourselves into a situation that provides pain. Because we're trying to get approval, we're trying to make them happy, we don't know what makes them happy, we're throwing whatever on the wall and see what sticks. Some of it's working, some of it's not, and then in the process, we're giving all of ourselves to that situation. Many times we have lower self-esteem sometimes in these codependent relationships. Because we don't feel like we're good enough or worthy enough or allowed to feel certain ways. And, you know, it's interesting because I believe that a lot of it goes back to, and I think many of us understand core wounds, goes back to core wounds that we have. And those core wounds started at an early age, right? Those core wounds started when we were, you know, in the formative years. And one of those core wounds could be the fear of abandonment. Okay? And so if we're fearful of abandonment and fearing that somebody's going to leave us, we have a tendency of sticking around even if the relationship's not working. Even if we're not happy about it. Even if it creates pain. Because that can happen not only in romance, it can happen in friendships, it can happen in all relationships. You see it in friendships a lot. Like, there's been this friendship for a while, But the friendship really isn't really still connected. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of new work done on the friendship. And you know what I'm saying. You have those old school friendships that you kept on for a long time. You have friendships that, you know, you don't really have a lot in common. Then we have relationships where we fear, you know, the relationship might be kind of needing some real work, or we need to figure out how to communicate, but yet we're thinking, okay, I don't want to leave this because am I going to have another relationship? I mean, am I going to find anything better than this? But on top of that, I just, you know, it goes down to the abandonment core. And a lot of times we don't even see that core wound because it's so covered up by everything else. And the core wounds are kind of sneaky. They're really sneaky. They're sneaky. They're like ninja, because everything in our brain kind of hides that, and we actually think there's other things going on, when in reality, the reason why we stuck in it is because of that XYZ core fear, that wound that disguises itself as a lot of different things. Okay. You know, also it's interesting because when we have tendencies to be codependent. And again, you know how I feel about this. We can sit there and talk about this all day. But, you know, when you hear people talk about codependency or cluster B or whatever you want to talk about, you know, it's interesting to hear how people say, well, I don't think people can get over this, or I don't think people can change. I think these are all different programs that we're spinning in, that if we can actually figure out what the program is, we can rewrite it. I think all these things can be augmented and changed. It just takes work and dedication. You know, one of the last things that I want to bring up in some of these specifics is, you know, we have a tendency of being responsible. We feel this great sense of responsibility for what everybody else is doing. This great sense of responsibility for how everybody else is feeling. And that can be an attribute to some degree, but it can also get in our way from action. It can also get in the way of us doing what we need to do for our own life. And what I've realized is that when we do what's right, I mean, really stepping back and realizing what's right, because I think a lot of times we question what we feel is right versus what is right. And it's about doing what's unconditionally right for ourselves. And sometimes that can mean, you know, walking away from a situation without retaliation, without argumentation, expressing one's truth and walking away. And it's interesting because I've realized, though, it can be hard when we feel as though we are responsible for everybody else. And so when I return here, we're going to be talking more about how we can define codependency, because it can be defined as any relationship where two people are invested in each other that they can't function independently. Right? That's a big thing. And it's interesting because the enabling behavior that we see in codependency is stuff that we need to really evaluate. You know, ignoring the problems. Trying to fix the problem over and over again. Constantly coming to the rescue. And sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. Sometimes we're not even asked to do it. We just keep doing it. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we're not even asked to do it. We just keep doing it because we think this is what we need to do. And so we're going to uncover more about codependency. We're going to discuss more about unconditional love and what that looks like, because it's very different than codependency. And we're going to understand exactly kind of the differences there. And we're going to be able to really process that clearly in our relationships and in ourselves. Dan Nelson's going to join us later on in the hour, so stay tuned. Got more show for you. Don't change the dial. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time in two shakes.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years, folks. It's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it, too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, get two MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life and do it now.
Money, 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 money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
You've heard me talking about MyPillow for 3 years, folks. It's the truth. I get the best sleep of my life with a MyPillow. You can do it, too. 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. You'll sleep well or you'll get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, get 2 MyPillow premium pillows for the price of one, or call 1-800-951-8175. Get the best sleep of your life.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and 3 beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my 5th concussion. Did you know that over 1 million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Today we're talking about codependency versus unconditional love, how to know the difference. And right before the break, we were talking about the signs of codependency and how to know when there's a tendency of being codependent. And again, this is a program that we've run in our own mind, that we've lived our life, that we saw in the parent dynamic usually, and then we just kept on running it. And it's interesting because a lot of times we can confuse codependency and unconditional love. Because we're doing all this stuff for somebody, we're taking care of them, you know, we're there all the time, we're taking responsibility, we always feel like, that's what unconditional love is! But it's not. And, you know, before I really get into unconditional love, I want to touch on, well, what conditional love is. Because I think that's important here. Many of you that are listening on AM radio, on USA Radio Networks, or watching the live feed on social media, have experienced what I call conditional love. It's based on what you've done. It's strings attached. It's what you've done lately. It's based on, you know, hey, you did this, I'm disappointed. It's about holding love hostage until you do what that other person wants you to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. And they could be big things or they could be small things. They can be consistently moving the target. Right? You know, and it's interesting because with conditional love, it's constantly about what you've done and if you deserve the love that they're giving you. Or they make you feel bad about what they do for you. Or they even make you feel bad about the love they gave you. You know, I loved you so much, I did all this for you, and this is all I get? This is the thanks you give me? And it's interesting. It's interesting. It's like it's based on what you do, or it's based on the career that you pick, or it's based on the person you marry, or it's based on the house that you get, or it's based on the amount of money that you make, or it's based on how you look, or it's based on if you have children or not. All of this is conditional. And it's interesting because when we're raised in a conditional environment, usually the people that are raising us were also raised in what? A conditional environment. I mean, this is what it's called, cycles, repeating the cycle. We talk about, you know, ending the cycle of violence, right? Ending the cycle of violence. It's the same thing. Yes, it's not physical violence, but it's the same type of cycle pattern, right? It's based on the fact that, you know, they saw physical beatings in their house. They continue to do it the next. We build up on that, right? So it's the concept of that. And so you know what conditional feels like. There's like strings attached, right? It kind of feels kind of gross. It's not about who you are as a person. It's about who they want you to be. Or who you could be if you just did this. Okay? And so when we talk about conditional, when we talk about unconditional love, we have to realize, you know, the opposite of unconditional love is the conditional. And when we switch over to the unconditional side, a lot of times people confuse unconditional with the codependency because they worry, how am I supposed to have my own values and boundaries and be unconditional? And see, this is where we're getting to where the rubber meets the road. Is you have to have your values and your boundaries in order to create an unconditional love environment. Without it, we're off to the other side of codependency, right? Without it, if we're allowing someone else to define the values in the household or how the kids are raised and we don't have any say in that or how we value XYZ and the other person doesn't, but we just don't speak up because we don't want to rock the boat. Okay, that's not unconditional love environment. Because in an unconditional love environment, there are boundaries, there are values. And we stand by that, but we still love somebody and we care about them no matter what. It's not based on what they did or didn't do yesterday. It's quite the opposite. It's based on them as an individual, based on the value of who they are. Not what they've done, but based on the love that we have for them genuinely. When I return, we're talking more about unconditional love, how to spot it, how to understand it, how to create it. Dan Nelson will be here later on in the third segment. Don't miss it. Stay tuned. We'll be talking more about this and how to see unconditional love and how to have it. So stay tuned. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in. I'll be back this time. Two shakes.
I hope you've enjoyed my history and lore tales here on Ashley's True Life Show. I know that there are many more amazing stories in your own family that we can discover in your tree. Hi, I'm Dan from Dancestors Genealogy. We take the hard part of discovering your family's past away from you by doing all of the research. You and your family end up with a beautifully bound heirloom book to view and enjoy. As a longtime genealogist, my staff and I know precisely where to look. We know what to look for and to preserve your story. So consultations with me are always free. Create your family heirloom book for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or next Christmas by talking with me, Dan, at Dancestors Genealogy. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.DancestorsGenealogy.com, that's DancestorsGenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The battle lines are drawn along party lines over President Biden's new $6 trillion budget. Biden says he's going to raise the corporate tax rate to 28%. Some of the wealthiest would pay nearly 40% on capital gains, but that would leave the U.S. nearly $2 trillion less than it would spend. President Biden says it's worth it if it helps grow the economy, rebuild infrastructure, and free people from the pandemic. Biden was once again on location, this time paying tribute to military members past and present in a pre-Memorial Day, address.
We make up 1% of the population. We defend 99% of the rest of us.
The president was speaking to enlisted troops at Virginia's Joint Base Langley Eustis. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On today's show, we've been talking about conditional, unconditional love, how to know the difference between unconditional love and codependency, because a lot of times we have a tendency of not realizing that difference. And it's very different. It's inherently different, but it can seem similar. It can seem similar because we give and we give and we think that's what we're doing. And giving is great. I'm not trying to make everybody into raging narcissists on this show where we only care about ourselves and that's it. That's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm just trying to empower us to see the truth. Right before the break, I've been talking about what conditional love is, having those strings attached, right? The strings. And you know what it is. I mean, many of you might have been even raised in these family dynamics that were based on conditional love. I will love you if you do this. I will be there for you if you do this. If you don't do this, I might not speak to you. If you do this, I might give you the silent treatment. If you do this, I won't do this. I won't do that. You know, it was very, you know, it was almost like a monetary system. You get this, you don't get this. You know, I take this away. But what is unconditional love? Because I realized that when I started embarking on unconditional love a while back, I realized that, you know, there's a tendency of us to, we don't really know how to do it a lot of times because we've been trained on this conditionality, right? Some of us don't know how to forgive. Some of us have been in environments where revenge is acceptable behavior. And what I've realized is that forgiveness is a big thing. To forgive somebody is huge. And I've also realized that forgiveness is cornerstone, right, to us getting over any stress, anxiety, resentment, pain, anything that happened in the past. And many of you might have had things that were done to you that is beyond bad, beyond painful, beyond horrible. And I understand that. I'm not sitting there saying, oh, everybody's forgive and let's kumbaya. But what I am saying is that most of the time when we're dealing with this, what I've realized is that forgiveness is key to make our own self better. I've had some people do things to me, not happy about, but I would wake up every day thinking about that. How am I going to get this back? How am I going to change this? And I realized all of a sudden that the only way that I could change this was to release it and to forgive the concept and forgive the situation, forgive myself for being involved, forgive the other people and move on. But I also realized that that forgiveness, that true, real forgiveness was also what? Unconditional love. And people say, well, it's so hard. And I've worked with folks that say, well, I can't unconditionally love. I just can't do it. And okay, but it's almost like not being able to unconditionally love is like not being able to ever have a dog because you're scared of the dog dying before you do. So you never get to experience the joy and love of having that dog. Okay, that's how sad it is to live with no unconditional love. Okay, it's pretty sad. But in order to unconditionally love somebody, you have to actually love them at the core of their being. It's not about the actions and attitudes. It's not what they did yesterday. And you have to be okay with that, and you have to be uncomfortable with that sometimes. I've realized that once we get comfortable with unconditional love, we begin to actually love truly the way that we're supposed to love. It's not based on what somebody's done or didn't do. It's based on the fact that that's them, a being, and we're loving them for who they are. Just the fact that they are them and alive. That's it. It's not like, oh, they did this, they did that. You know, it's not about the gossip train. It's not about that. It's not about any of that. It's about literally, you know what? I care about them because I care about them. I care about them because they're there. I care about them because they're, you know, they're here on this planet. And we don't have to always respect everything that someone does. Okay, so let's get that real quick out here. Unconditional love and having full respect for somebody is two different things. I might respect something that someone does at one point, but I might not respect what they do something else. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like we have to look at that, the difference between respect and unconditional love, and how those two things are different. Those two things are very different. And I want you to think about that. It's great when we can unconditionally love somebody and respect them. But I know for a fact that we as humans don't always do the right thing. We as humans don't always do the perfect thing. Most of us try. Most of us really sincerely try. And I think I would say at least 95% of people on this planet try to do the right thing all the time. Now, do they always do the right thing? No. Do I always do the right thing? No. Do I try to do the right thing? Yes. And I think that when we look at it from that standpoint, now there are people out there that try to make our life hell. And there are people out there who are constantly negative. There are people out there that are trying to find a way to trip you up, to hurt you, to ruin you, to do whatever they need to do to make your life a living hell. Now, those are the people that you got to put a distance between. You can love them unconditionally from afar. And once you're able to love someone like that unconditionally from afar, that's when you know you've gotten. And I know you go, how do you do that? What I've realized is that we don't judge it on the fact of what they're doing. It's beneath the core of that being, there's a hurt person that's fighting with everybody upset with everyone based on however they were raised. And understanding that and knowing that concept and knowing that situation, we realize why they are a product of what they are doing. We also realize why they spew the comments that they spew on a constant basis, right? Because that's kind of what they were raised around. Does that make it right? No. Do we respect that? No. But can you see the fact that that person is kind of a wounded being? And the fact that we love them and we can send them love and send them unconditional love is very powerful, but we don't have to be around that day after day. Even month after month, we don't have to be around that. We can put that emotional distance to that and create that distance so that we can actually care about that person from afar. I've realized, though, that a lot of you don't understand how to do this for yourself. And see, this is the key, is that we can't do it for other people until we do it for ourselves. We can't give unconditional love to other people until we learn how to do it for us. And I really want you to think about that. I really want you to think about that, because we can't give unconditional love unless we actually give it to ourselves and actually reinforce that on a constant basis. And I'm going to talk about this, and Dan's going to come up here in just a few seconds, but I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about this in the last segment of the show, because it rests upon you to begin to see your value, to understand how to unconditionally love yourself. If you don't see your value and you don't recognize who you are as a person on this planet, how can you begin to love yourself unconditionally? You will be loving yourself conditionally because you'll find fault within yourself and you'll say to yourself, well, I didn't do that right, or this didn't happen, or I didn't get to do that when I was in high school, or I didn't get to do that in college, or I went through multiple divorces and I feel horrible about that, or that, or I'm judging myself based on that. And these are the things that we have to overcome. These are the apologies that we have to make to ourselves. And some of you might be holding on to things in the past that you did and you feel horrible about it. But there comes a time when we have to let this go. There comes a time when we have to let it go and move on. And you can't just sweep it under the rug. We actually have to view it, see it, and accept it and move forward. And we have to apologize to ourselves for the situation and why we did what we did. Once we apologize, and I like folks to write a letter to themselves, and I can actually do a show on this in the future, because I think, you know, writing a letter to ourselves of apology and seeing that and actually reading it to ourselves can be extremely powerful. So right now I'd like to talk with Dan Nelson. Dan is our resident historian and genealogist, and he was on a couple of weeks ago. We had an author on recently, and Dan is going to also continue that story for us so we actually know the ending, because I've been waiting it out. Dan, great to have you on the show.
Glad to be here, Ashley. So just to catch everyone up from last time, there was a guy named Charles Simon, went by Prince Charlie, and he lived down in Cuero, Texas, and he claimed to be the grandson of the Empress Carolyn, and that there was $50 million which he claimed still existed in the bank vaults of Europe. So where we sort of left off is Princess Caroline had been coronated. She'd been given the gold ring of the Empire of Austria-Hungary. Then they kidnapped her and took her to the court of the King of Saxony, where she was kept secretly while there was a bunch of plotting going on to get a guy named Franz Joseph into power as the Emperor of Austria-Hungary. So she's hanging out in Saxony, and they put this guy Ferdinand in charge in the meantime. But Ferdinand had a bunch of physical problems, and so he was sort of the in-between. And then Franz Joseph came up with a clever plan where he would become the emperor, basically self-appointed. And he did, and anybody that said he wasn't got killed. And so she had to stay in Saxony because she, of course, didn't want to go there and have that fate. She'd hoped to be married to the King of Saxony, but he took someone else as his wife. And so then they came up with a clever plan of, oh, well, let's send her to Mexico because Napoleon III of France had invaded Mexico. and she could go over there and be safe. Well, while he was over there in Mexico, a lot of people don't know this, but during the American Civil War, France invaded Mexico. So sort of a...
We
didn't pay a lot of attention to it because, of course, we had our own Civil War going on. And the Mexicans weren't real pleased with having this French guy on the throne, and France just wanted access to the silver mines of Mexico that they sort of temporarily controlled based on who was in charge of what over in Europe. So because of this stuff going on in Mexico, she didn't want to go there, and then things don't go right, and she gets shot. So her ship stopped in Indianola, Texas, which is west of Houston, north of Corpus Christi. Actually, doesn't exist today. It got wiped out by a hurricane, but that's where it was. And so she's hanging out there in Indianola, and sure enough, they did get Emperor Maximilian and shot him in Mexico. So she had no place to go. She couldn't go to Mexico if she'd be shot, too. She couldn't go back to Austria if she'd be shot there. So, and she couldn't go back to Saxony because the king there had married, so he didn't need this potential bride hanging around. So she's hanging out now in Indianola, Texas, which, you know, why not if you can't be an emperor somewhere, hang out in Texas. So while she's there, this hurricane hits, and actually her son, Prince Henry, saved his mother's life. They basically, you know, sort of the typical hurricane story. We hear these out of Galveston where, you know, they rise up and the water's coming in the house and they have to hack their way out through the attic and get rescued from the roof kind of story. So it's pretty crazy. And so afterwards they moved from Indianola to Quarles. And that's when she sort of started telling this story about the fact that I was the Empress of Austria-Hungary. And that, you know, my son should be my heir. And then, of course, that eventually would lead to the crown prince, Prince Charlie, or Chili Charlie, they called him, because he had a chili stand there in Cuero, Texas. So when the story was checked out, and it first came out in 1938, and then in 1971, and then again in 1984, and I guess here I am bringing it up in 2021. And so he has supposedly this gold medal at the time, and, you know, he didn't want anybody to get hold of it or anything, so he was, like, hiding it, and yet he died without knowing the fate of this gold medal. But he was supposedly recognized in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. by people that were foreign emissaries of the Kingdom of Austria-Hungary and Germany. So you had people saying, hey, that is the guy that is the legitimate heir to the throne of King of Austria-Hungary. However, of course, Austria-Hungary ceased to exist basically after World War One. So you're the heir to something that doesn't exist any longer, but of course, you know, the claim to the throne is there. So this came to my attention, this story, about probably 3 months ago. And I sort of started checking it out. The client hasn't, you know, sent the payments, of course, to sort of start working on it. But I could not find anything about this Empress Carolyn, which she said you won't, because they want to hide out. Hide what happened to her and hide that she's, you know, the actual heir to the throne and claim to this fortune. So she's right in terms of they did a good job hiding it. But that doesn't mean we can't find it. We'll just have to look from the other direction, meaning work our way down through the Hungarian, Austro-Hungarian royal records. So that's sort of the story. We don't know if this is true or not, but it's sort of a fabulous story. Just somebody's got to spend a bunch of time going through the Austria-Hungarian record to determine whether Prince Charlie was indeed the heir to the throne.
That is a great story. Very awesome. Very good information. And, Dan, I look forward to having you back next week. Thank you so much for your historical perspective.
Thank you. And, you know, if it turns out that you're one of the heirs...
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Liberty Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Dan was great today, great historical information. It's always interesting to learn about history. History does repeat itself. You know, it's always an interesting dynamic, right? And the more we learn about the world around us, and the more we learn about ourselves, it makes our life a lot better. And right before we were talking to Dan, I was talking about the concept of unconditional love, and I also spoke about how we can unconditionally love other people, but honestly, unconditional love has to start with what? With us. We have to begin with ourselves. Ourselves. We have to begin with ourselves. And so that's the thing. That's the key. That's the hardest part, right, is that many of us don't begin with ourselves. And so therefore we can't because we haven't figured out how to do it. So how do we begin to unconditionally love ourselves? Well, the first thing we have to do is you got to pay attention to our self-care. Right? Because if we don't care about ourselves, we definitely don't unconditionally love ourselves. We actually have to show ourselves that we care about ourselves. I mean, think about it. You're basically being a friend to you. It's like, haven't you ever been out with a friend that you saw really doesn't care about you? How far did that friendship go? Now, if you're still involved with that friendship and there's an attachment there, there's a fear of abandonment or rejection at the core wound. But I'm talking about usually when you're in a situation and somebody doesn't treat you very well, usually you probably move away, right? You probably let it go. And that's something that we want to really think about. But we have to begin with that self-care. We have to begin with really getting deep into our own self, understanding and seeing not only how we feel, but experiencing that emotion and allowing ourselves to feel, right? Because many of us have found ourselves in relationships in the beginning of time, family dynamic, where our emotions were not good enough, our feelings were not allowed, we were shut down, right? Or we were shown that we are not allowed to communicate our feelings. You know, maybe we were told that we are not, that we don't have the right to feel that way, or maybe we were mocked, or maybe we were given the silent treatment, or maybe we were avoided, so we suck it all in. And so we have to really get deep into ourselves, and first of all, begins with self-care and doing what's right for us by eating, taking care of our bodies, doing the right thing for us for sleep, you know, taking a shower, getting ready, doing those things that show ourselves that we actually do care. The other thing is that we really need to face our inner obstacles, right? That's a big thing. We all feel like we have weaknesses. We all need to face the weaknesses and the flaws that we feel like we have. But we can't be judging ourselves adversely all the time about them. That's such a key thing, is that a lot of times we negatively, judge these things, which even creates us more to feel more insecure, more anxious, more upset, more angry, more beaten down. Right? Because we feel like we can't do anything right. But when we're doing that and we're beating ourselves up and we're judging ourselves, what we're doing is we're actually taking that energy and putting it into something that's not going to benefit us. Because that's self-sabotaging behavior in its own. Because when we don't actually, we have to look at the obstacle, we have to look at the situation, look at it, but when we're looking at it, if we start beating ourselves up about it, what happens? We don't try to solve it anymore. We're just down that path about beating ourselves up. Okay, and that's where it's like when we judge someone else, right? It's like it's the same thing. When you judge someone and you've talked about somebody and you're like, God, I can't believe they did this and I can't believe they did that. And, you know, and it's like we're not in that helping any solution. We're on the sidelines of life judging it. And we do that a lot to ourselves, right? We judge the way we look, the way we act, who we are, everything. Our career, our non-career, our education, our non-education, our friends, not our friends, our marriage or lack thereof marriage. You know, I mean, all of that stuff and all that judgment really takes away from any ability for us to actually unconditionally love ourselves. And then we have to deal with the old wounds. We have to really deal with these core wounds to understand why we've created certain relationships. Because we have to begin to exit stage right on these toxic relationships. But it's not just the other person that's toxic in these relationships. We need to see what we're bringing into the relationship to create this perfect storm. And that's another thing. Because we go a long way. When we start cleaning house, we go a long way to showing ourselves that we actually care about ourselves enough to surround ourselves with people that do care about us and we care about ourselves, or rather to go in inner within ourselves and begin to identify who we are, spending enough time with ourselves and limiting those exposures to people that don't, but also that don't help us gain knowledge about ourselves. I hope that the show has helped you trying to find and see that unconditional love, creating that for yourself, and how that can ripple out with other people once we see it and once we create it on our own. There's another show obviously coming up on Saturday at 1 o'clock, same time Central, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Pacific. Don't miss, we have a digital show that's out every Thursday now at 6:15 Central. That'll be on YouTube and Facebook. You can go to my YouTube channel, Ashley Burgess, or Facebook, Ashley Burgess, to find that. You can go to the website, ashleyburgess.com, B-E-R-G-E-S, and you can click on any links to go to that social media. I hope that you've enjoyed the show. Please share it with your family and friends. Loving yourself unconditional. Don't forget to live your true life. And Live Your True Life Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time in 3 shakes.
It is interesting to see how the subjects on Ashley's True Life show and current events so often correlate with past events. As Ashley says, history often repeats itself. Our ancestors' genealogy research comes across great stories from the past that tie to families and our shared history regarding what happens in our country and our community. Ancestors' clients have had ancestors that were colonizers, explorers, founders of religions, gunslingers, kings and queens, knights, pirates, heroic soldiers, witches, and witch hunters. Let's find out who the characters are in your family tree. So please reach out today by going to our website, www.dancestorsgenealogy.com. That's dancestorsgenealogy.com, and fill out a contact request, and we'll get right back to you.